Hallelujah. And so we have that solid rock. We have that firm foundation. We have that assurance to know that it is well with my soul. I don't think you have to live from moment to moment, day to day, week to week, wondering if I'm going to make it in. I believe our salvation is secure. I think it's paid for. It's been bought with a price. And when I asked him to come into my heart and save my soul, he did just that. And then he gave me a promise, and he said, and I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I got to tell you, there were times in my life that I thought he stayed when I was good and he left when I was bad. He never left. As a matter of fact, he never thought I was bad. I just did. You know what? We sometimes are harder on ourselves, I think, than what he is. Because he understands my end from my beginning. He knows my downfalls, my shortcomings. You know, David used to say things like that. He knows my strengths and my weaknesses. He knows my downfalls. He knows my shortcomings. He knows my emotions. He gave them to me. Emotions aren't bad. We just got to know how to direct them. You don't want to live without fear. You don't want to be consumed or driven by fear, but you don't want to live without fear. Fear is what makes you run from the tiger, right? You don't have to run, what is it? You don't have to run faster than the bear. You just have to run faster than the person behind you running from the bear. Is that how it goes? Because fear is a motivator. It can motivate you in good ways, but also it can motivate you in bad ways. And so the fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. He's not talking about a fear that we have to be afraid of God, but a reverential fear, a fear that reverences who he is, the omnipotent, the omnipresent God, the God of all the universe, the God who can hang the stars and the moon into space, has got me covered. He's got me covered today. Hallelujah. And so I'm thankful that we can say, it is well with my soul. Because I believe that if it's well with your soul, it will manifest in other areas of your life. You know, and our soul is our realm of thinking, our psyche, our psychic. It's our mind, it's our reasoning. You pick whatever word fits you. I don't know, I won't pick your word for you, but our psyche, yeah. It's our realm of thinking. It's our thought patterns. And, you know, the scripture says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If I quoted that scripture and said, as a man thinks, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So how many know what you think is very important to what you respond and how you respond and to what you do? Now, last week we talked about transformation, being transformed. Do you believe that the power of God that can transform you, that can transform your life? How many believe in the transforming power of God in our life? Amen. See, I don't think we just come to church. I don't think we just come to Jesus and just get a band-aid for what we used to be. The scripture declares that I'm not the same old person that I used to be. How many can say I'm different since I've come to know Jesus? There is a transforming power. There is a renewing. There is a changing power of God. And I don't think we ever want to come away from the fact that there is something that happens when you stand up and walk down to an altar in a church aisle and cry on the altar and say, Lord, I am yours. As we sang that song this morning, I just said, Lord, I surrender to you. I surrender my future to you. I surrender my thoughts. I surrender my family. I surrender all that I am to you. And you know what I did? I put my hands up. Because when you surrender, you put your hands up. So I said, Lord, I surrender to you. I want to know you more. I want to know you. This Paul, the writer, said that I might know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering. I want you to know there's power in the resurrection. I want to know that power. I want to know the power of God in my life, not just to get me by, but to transform me, to change me into the image of his dear son. The transforming power that breaks the chains, that breaks addictions, that breaks bands, that changes who we used to be into who he's making us to be. So transformation is powerful, it's important, and it's divine. I mean, you know, there are some things we can do to change ourselves. And then there's some things that we need divine. We need the strength and power of the Holy Spirit to do. There are some things I cannot do on my own. Try as I may, that I cannot make it happen. But there are some things that I can do. And there are some things that I do because of transformation that's taken place in me. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if we want change, how many know change has to start in your mind? The renewing of your mind, the changing of your mind. Let's go ahead and bring up a couple of the scriptures. Lisa, do you have the 2 Corinthians 3:16-18? It says, whenever though they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil and there they are face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We're free of it. How many know he's talking about an old covenant? Jesus come to bring a new testament, a new covenant, a new way of thinking, a new way of operating, a changing of our mind, a changing of the program. All of us, nothing between us and God. Our face is shining with the brightness of his face. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. How many know the first thing that happened is God enters our lives and then we become like him. He works from the inside out. Amen. The inside out, the presence of God in our life to change us, to transfigure us or transform us. The Greek word for transform is metamorpho, which makes you think of what? Metamorphosis or the butterfly, right? There is a constant cycle of change. And we talked a little bit about this last week. It starts as the egg. And then it goes to the caterpillar, and then it goes to the larva, and then it goes to the butterfly, which in turn lays the egg, which in turn becomes, is a continual cycle of growth and change. But if we stop anywhere along the way, we detain or delay the optimal end result of what we want to be. Amen? We don't want to stop at the caterpillar stage. You don't want to stop at the egg stage because the beautiful butterfly is in there. There's change and transformation that takes place. It's a metamorphosis. It's a complete changing, but it happens in the DNA and the seed of God that's within us. But it says being transfigured. Another translation says to be transformed. And so we talked last week about transfiguration and transformation. Let me see. To transform or transfigure means to make a thorough or drastic change in former appearance or character. Comes from the Greek word metamorpho or metamorphosis, to change into another form, to transfer or transfigure. I mean, change is instant and progressive. I believe in the instantaneous power of God to set people free. But I also believe there's things in our life that even as we grow and mature, they're progressive. They're changing. Some things just come with maturity. Some things just come with growing up. Some things just come with your mind changing and your mind being renewed and where our mind is allowed to linger. I mean, wherever your mind is, the scripture says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Those things you treasure, those things you value will capture your attention and keep your mind focused on what you treasure. Now, I could say, where was your mind in the last 5 minutes? And it might tell us where your treasure is. Maybe you're thinking about what you're having for lunch. I don't know. So anyway, our mind has to change. What we focus on, what we think about, what's the purpose? Romans 12, 1 and 2. Says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all of us, because of all he has done for you, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing what? The way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. How many know we talk a lot of time? King James says it like this. Let this mind. That's a different one, though, I think. I wanted to go back to verse 1. Is, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Amen. And I think a lot of times we think about that there's a good, and then there's an acceptable, and there's a perfect will of God. But I like how the New Living Testament says it, that for then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. It's good and it's acceptable and it's a perfect will of God in your life. But it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, changing your stinking thinking, changing the way you think about things. How many know if you allow your mind to dwell on the things that pull you down, that's where you stay? Am I right? And so what do? We have to change our thought pattern. And sometimes we have to connect to somebody who can talk us out of where we're at. And that's what's powerful when the coming together of the body. Because we are renewed and we're re-encouraged and we speak to ourselves. The scripture says you can speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in the Lord. If I have trouble sleeping tonight, at night I start praying. Yeah. Sometimes I'll pray in the Holy Ghost. Sometimes I'll start quoting scripture to myself. I have to say I'm pretty blessed that I'm a pretty good sleeper. Thank you, Jesus. But there are times, you know, when you wake up at night, and so I'll start quoting the scripture to myself, and I'll try to find a scripture that I know if I can quote that whole scripture or something. And my mind goes to the place. That place. As a kid, if I would have a bad dream, I would change. I would start quoting scripture, or I would sing a song, or I would start thinking of something different because I knew if I didn't, if I went back to sleep, what happens? You pick it right back up where you left it off sometimes, and you keep on dreaming. I woke up the other morning dreaming. It wasn't a scary dream, but I woke up the other morning. Dan and I were in the truck together, and we were going someplace. I don't remember where we were going, and he handed me a piece of cheese, and I looked at it. I said, honey, this is moldy cheese. We can't eat this cheese. And for whatever, where that came from, I have no idea, but I'm waking up thinking, we can't eat this moldy cheese, and why is it sometimes it seems such a reality to you, you know, your dreams and things like that. But I would have to change my thinking. I have to change where my mind was because evidently that day it was on moldy cheese or something. But I think sometimes we forget the tricks And by tricks, I don't mean that it's a trick we do it, but I think we forget to use the weapons that we've been given to change and transform our minds to where it needs to be. Amen? Amen. That's why there's a on and off button on that puppy. go walk the dog. Yeah. There's times you're right, Paul. There's sometimes that you have to walk away from things that because how many know bad news sells? I always think about the song, I think it was Ann Murray used to sing it. Sure could use a little good news today. Nobody robbed a liquor store on the other side of town. Nobody OD'd. Nobody built a single building down. Because bad news sells. And so sometimes you got to turn the TV off. And you've got to go find something. Because that's what the media feeds you. Because it keeps your attention focused on that. And there's sometimes when you got to say no to CNN or... say no, or find something. Like, I'm one of those people that if I'm going to go to the theater, I want to laugh really hard while I'm there. I don't want to go cry. I don't want to be afraid when I leave. I want to be entertained. I live in a drama world. So if I want entertainment, I do not want all of that. I want something that lifts my spirits, that lifts my mind, that pulls me out of that place. That I can watch a movie that encourages me, that makes me laugh. The worst thing you can do if you are in despair or discouraged or depressed is connect with somebody else who is discouraged and in despair or depressed. Right? Because what you're going to do is share stories. Doctor's office says, we ask our patients, please do not exchange symptoms in the waiting room. You know, because we diagnose ourselves or we change symptoms and you need to connect yourself with somebody who's going to help remind you that where you are is temporary. Find an up person. You need to connect yourself with somebody that can help remind you your circumstances are temporary, how big your God is. And how many places you've already walked through? Is there anybody in here this morning can raise your hand and say, I thank God that he's brought me to where I am today, that I would not be where I am, but by the grace of God and the power of God in my life, he didn't bring me here to leave me. He brought me here to take me all the way through. I refuse to be anything less than a conqueror and a victor through Jesus. I am not defeated. I'm the head and not the tail. I am salt. I am light, I am called, I am purposed, and I am destined and anointed for great things. Is there anybody in the house with me this morning? Hallelujah. And so easily we can forget those things, and so easily we can get overwhelmed. And let me tell you, sometimes life throws you curveballs you didn't see coming. Sometimes the ground seems shaky. Sometimes the storms are a little more than what you thought. And I think of the disciples that are in the ship. And how many know they're in the ship? Jesus is in the ship, but there's still a storm that hits. There's still darkness. There's still fear. And the disciples go down, and they wake up Jesus and said, Master, don't you care that we perish? See, what happens is our mind goes to a place that says Jesus must not care when all along he's right smack dab in the middle of everything that we ever walk through, and he's at rest and he's at peace. And if we'll watch him model rest and peace to it, that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I can fear no evil. There's some things we walk through with him. Hallelujah. But thank God I never have to walk it alone. Hallelujah. Transformation power. of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The message works. The transforming power of the Holy Spirit to change who you used to be, to change who her dad used to be, to see God take somebody from alcoholism, from abuse, from that state, and transform those lives into something new. Thank God. That's the power of transformation. That's the power of God that works in our life. And you know, I was thinking about that as I was studying last night. We must never forget those transformations and never let those things that other people have fought through slip through our hands, lest we repeat our history and not better our future. Do you understand what I'm saying? I've been delivered from some things, not personally, thank God. My transformation came when God set my family free, delivered them from a past of corruption and sin, and He transformed our lives. I never want to resort back to what we used to be. I want to move farther into what God wants to do into the future. I've seen what alcohol can do. I've seen what drugs can do. I've seen what abuse could do. That's not who I am. That is in my past. That is in my yesterdays. And I refuse to drag it into my future. I don't want that in my future. I'm thankful for the transforming power of God to set us free, to give us life, and give it to us more abundantly. Hallelujah. And so God's love is what transforms us. It wasn't His wrath that transformed it. It's His love, our desperation for something new, something different. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, what? He is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Hallelujah. And so we talked about Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And you remember the story, Jim and I demonstrated it last week. When Jesus stood on the Mount of Transfiguration, He took Peter, James, and John to the mountain with Him. I mean, no, not everybody is meant to go to the mountain with you. Not everybody who's in your life is meant to stay in your life. Some people are meant to pass through. Some people are meant to stay. Don't ever get it confused. Not everybody could take what happened on the mountain and understand it. Not everybody's going to understand where God's taken you. Not everybody's going to understand God's purpose in your life. But He takes Peter and James and John, and He takes them to the top of the mountain. And the scripture says, and while He prayed, He was transfigured. How many know prayer is transforming? Prayer will transfigure you. It will change the atmosphere. It will change. If it doesn't do anything else, it will change how you view it. It'll give you hope. And so it says, and as they prayed, He was transfigured before them, and He shone, as it were, like the glory of God shone upon Him. And there appeared who? Moses and Elijah appeared to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the scripture says that when this happened, that Jesus stood there, Moses on one side, Elijah on the other side. And the scripture says that Peter gets a great idea. And he said, I know what, let's build a tabernacle or a temple, a tabernacle for Moses, and let's build one for Elijah, and we can build one for Jesus, and we can, I mean, no, it's tempting sometimes when God wants to bring a transformation to take what He wants to do but stay where you're at. See, if God wants to do a transformation in your life, if He's bringing some changes in you, if you feel stirring and feel God pulling you and changing you and drawing you up to another place, don't stay where you're at. It's tempting to stay where you're at and miss what God wants to take you to. And so they were satisfied. Let's just build a tabernacle and just stay right here. But how many know if they had done that, they would have missed the power of the cross? Because what happens is when Jesus stands on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jim and I demonstrated, I think there was an angel on one side that looked like Elijah and one on the other side that looked like Moses, and it gave the appearance of a mercy seat on the top of a mountain, and Jesus with the mediator right smack dab in the middle of them as they stood there, and the heavens opened up and said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." I didn't come to drag Moses and Elijah into the next phase of what God wants to do. I'm about to make all things new. I'm about to take of twain, Moses and Elijah, and make one new man, that being the person of Jesus Christ. It's not Moses and Elijah plus Jesus. It's Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, the picture of our eternal sacrifice, the Lamb who was slain, sprinkled on the mercy seat, the offering for our sins. That very picture is what will transfigure you. That is what will transform you. That's what will change you into what God wants to do in your life. It's the power of the cross. It's the power of the blood-sprinkled mercy seat, the blood of the Lamb, the offering that Jesus offered for us. Same voice that when he went down in the waters of baptism, and when he come up, he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And from that point, John says, he must increase and I must decrease. Hallelujah. I think, Brother Jim, when they stood there in that formation of that mercy seat, or at least that's how I want to see it, that I believe there was a high five and said, "This is the moment we've all been waiting for. This is the moment that we've been hearing about. This is the moment that's been prophesied by the prophet Isaiah, that I'm going to send my Son. I'm going to send the sacrifice." And I believe they high fived even said, "You go get her done." Hallelujah. That sacrifice, that mountain of transfiguration. When I was thinking about last night, we could pick hundreds of stories in the Bible of people who were transformed or transfigured by the power of God. How many know God took Abraham when he didn't have a clue? And he said, "I'm going to make your seed as the stars of the heaven and the sands of the sea. It's not even about you, Abraham. It's about what I want to do in the earth." And God began to transform people centuries over time, the power of God to change lives. How about the example of Saul to Paul? Saul was so wrapped up in his religion that he couldn't see Jesus. And he was persecuting the very church that Jesus came to save. But how many know there was a road to Damascus, and there was a moment when God would take Saul and blind his eyes to everything he used to see. And he would open his eyes to a new covenant, a new way. This Jesus whom you persecuted. Hallelujah. And he did a transformation. How many know he didn't just patch up an old garment. He completely transformed Saul into Paul to make him the greatest voice of the New Testament and the greatest writer of our books of the New Testament. But I was thinking last night, just an example for one, I thought about the story of Shamgar. And you know that I love the story of Shamgar. Can you bring up the Judges scriptures for me, Lisa? Judges 3 and 31, and then we'll go to 5, 6, and 7. 5, 6, and 7, yeah. Judges 3. Did I give you that one? I may not have. Judges 3 and 31. And then 5, verse 6 and 7. Somebody tell me who Shamgar is. He's the ox goad man. He was a farmer. Good with tools. He was a judge, right? He was a judge in Israel in the book of the Judges, in the day of the Judges. And the scripture, probably of all the heroes of the Bible and of all the judges in the Bible, it says the least about Shamgar. But I think I might like him the most. I don't know. He's right up there with Deborah. But anyway, I like Shamgar. And after him was Shamgar the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. Now, can you give me Judges 5, verse 6 and 7? So it says that he slew the Philistines with 600 Philistines with an ox goad. I like him. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. There was a lot of ites. Yeah, it's 5 and then verse 6 and 7. I mean, no, that's not her fault. It's not the Holy Ghost. It's my fault. I forgot to give her that one. But he dwelt among the land, and the land was constantly being attacked by the Philistines or by those who oppressed Israel. Right? And we know that, and we see the repeated story, and God would raise up a judge, and the people would learn their way, and they would be good for a while, and then what? They would go back to their same old mindsets and the same old actions. And then God would raise up another judge. I mean, Gideon. The transformation in Gideon, where God takes someone who is hiding wheat by the wine press and says to him, "Thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you." And if Gideon's like me, he probably looked everywhere like, "Who are you talking to?" He says, "I am the least in my father's house. And if the Lord is with us, where be all of his miracles?" Where are the miracles we've heard about from our fathers? Why are we where we are? Because before you ever change your position, you must change your thinking. Yeah. And before you ever change your circumstances, you got to change your mindsets. The only way you're going to change your finances is to change the way you think about money. The only way you're going to change your health or the fitness of your body is to change how you think about fitness and nutrition. The only way you're going to change relationships is to stop doing the things that are causing a wedge or causing a breach in your relationship and change the way you approach each other. Change your thinking. I mean, no, it must start. You must have a change of thought before you have a change of action. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways, I like her too. In the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied and travelers walked through byways. And I want you to get this. The highways were abandoned. Another scripture says they had abandoned the highway, the road, the path. They had abandoned them. And the inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, and I arose a mother in Israel. Is there one more? Verse 8, they chose new gods, then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? But it talks about Shamgar with his ox goad, and it says that they had abandoned their roads, and what another translation said, and they were taking the twisted off roads instead of the highway. There's some things we've abandoned that we need to find. There are some roads that are ours that we need not relinquish to any enemy. And what happens is, in a paraphrased version, Shamgar gets up one day and says, "Enough is enough. I have taken the long road long enough. I have fought, I have relinquished my bean patch, my corn patch, my wheat field," whatever it was he farmed. He was a farmer with an ox, and the ox would plow the field. They would use the rod, the ox goad, to goad the ox to get them to go. And then they would use the other end of the ox goad to scrape the mud off the plows as they plowed. But one day, Shamgar got up and said, "Today is my day to take the highway." I mean, there's sometimes that there's some things that are yours that you need to stand up for and that you need to change your mind and say, "I will protect that which the Lord has given me, and I will stand my ground and I will do what God has purposed. This is my territory. This is my path. This is my way, and I will protect what God has given me." And the scripture says he stands up with an ox goad and he slays 600 Philistines. I mean, some days you've got to get up and find your ox goad. Now, I don't necessarily suggest you get a real ox goad, but your ox goad might be a keyboard. It might be a pen in your hand. It might be your Bible. It might be your hammer. It might be whatever it is that God uses, has put in your hand to make you victorious. What is it that God has entrusted to you? What is it God's given you? Some days you got to find your slingshot. You got to find your ox goad. You got to be what God called you to do. Hallelujah. You cannot have a new year with an old mindset. How many know Shamgar had to change the way he thought about what was happening a daily? If you don't like what's happening in your life right now and your daily steps, today's the day to change that. Today's the day to change your mind, to change your thinking, to change and to stand up and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Shamgar stood up and said, this is my patch. This is my oxen. This is my road. This is my territory. And I refuse to relinquish it to anybody else. I mean, God has made you a priest and a judge over your own house, over your own territory, over your family, a responsibility. And as Joshua stood and said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You can make that declaration whether you see it or not. Make it until you see it. Declare it until you see it. Believe for it until you see it. But use what God's put in your hand right here and right now to change. To be transformed in our mind that will transform our future. I think about the power of choice. And when someone makes a choice to do something, the ripple effect that comes down the line. Because one man and one woman stood up and said, if you'll save me, I'll serve you. Because of a decision like that, the ripple effect has went on for generations. How powerful our decisions are, how powerful our mind and our thoughts are. And when we make a decision like that and stand by it, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. The transforming power. Beth, I'm not going to share it this morning, but Beth shared a scripture with us on a Wednesday night Bible study one Wednesday, and I had never thought about the story in this way, but she talked about the story of Jonah, and she talked about how Jonah disobeyed God, and he got on the ship going to Tarshish instead of going to Nineveh, and the scripture says, and God prepared a great fish that swallowed Jonah. And for years, we always thought God prepared, he was disobedient, and so God just caused that ship, that fish to swallow him up, and he ended up in the belly of hell and all of that kind of stuff. But, you know, she shared it from a different mindset, and she said, you know what, that when everybody else threw Jonah overboard, he was disobedient, he was running, but when everybody else threw Jonah overboard, God prepared a fish. He had a safety net. It didn't look like a cruise ship. It looked a whole lot more like a submarine. But what we think sometimes is God's judgment in our life really is the grace of God to catch you for a moment. The mercy of God. Instead of Jonah crying out, saying, man, God's judging me and I'm in the belly of fish, he was saying, thank you, God, for a belly. Thank you for a fish. And he said it was 3 days. And if you ever in your season of being swallowed up and being thrown over by everybody else, if you ever take 3 days to focus on what Jesus did at the cross and his death, his burial, and resurrection, in 3 days, you'll cause hell to vomit you out on dry ground. And when you do, you'll know you have a message that when you get to Nineveh, you got something to say to Nineveh, because I just experienced the grace and mercy of God. God captured me. God held me in the pit of the sea until he could take me to dry ground. It's not just the judgment of God, but it was the grace of God to capture me and carry me until I could see his mercy and grace in my life. Then I could go to Nineveh and I could preach it to Nineveh and see God restore a nation that did not know about the love and grace of God. Changing our mind, being transformed. The experiences that we have should make you better, not bitter. If you allow them to make you better and not bitter, you'll see God's purpose in every step of your life and have him change our mind and how we view even where we're at, even when what seems like the belly of hell, we look up and say, but for God. Thank God it wasn't a shark. When everybody else throws you overboard, God still had a safety net, and still the grace of God captured Jonah and renewed his mind. Did he still run into struggles? He did. He still didn't always understand the plan of God, but God was with him every step of the way. We need to know wherever we are in our life right now, God is with you every step of the way. He doesn't leave you. He doesn't forsake you. And I pray, God, help us to find your grace and mercy in every season of our life. And let it be a renewing of our mind that we can understand that your will is good, it's acceptable, and it's perfect in your sight. Stand with me this morning.
Weather's like this, I hurt like crazy, you know. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, you know, and I was saying about healing, you know, and God, you know, why aren't you healing me, you know? And the Lord spoke to me just this is plain, and I don't know why I never thought of it like this before, but he said, your healing is not out there. When your salvation came, your healing came with it. So whatever's in you is what God's going to bring out of you. If you can believe that God's healing is already in you, then God will express it out of you. And I had never thought of it that way. You always look for healing out there or healing from somebody or somebody else to lay hands on you or something. And all that's well and good. It stirs it up, exactly. But I never really thought about it like that, yes, like I did yesterday when he said, my healing's already in you. It's already there. Just let it happen. He's transforming the way I think about it. And whether he heals me or not, if he gave me that revelation, I'm blessed. I'm blessed to know that it's there. If I can operate in that, then I don't have anything to worry about.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
With God, beginning to flex our muscles and think he's promised us more than we've ever been able to comprehend.
True.
But there's got to come a day when we realize that there's enough strength there and enough trust in God that we can reach out. As we begin to reach out, there's going to be such a transformation that it's going to fall on others. They're going to say, my Lord and my God, it is real. What God is doing is real. But don't you think there's not a battle between this stage and this stage? Because if he can hinder us where we're at now, we have a form of godliness, but denying his power, there is a power that we've not worked into yet. And I desire so much for that. But in order to do that, you've got to stretch out in faith because he'll try to stop you in your tracks. But the price has already been paid. Don't let anything stop you from not just believing that, but walking in it. He said it's as easy to be healed as it is to be saved. And all I did was run to an altar. And I said, my Lord and my God, I need a change. I need to believe you beyond anything that I've ever believed in my life. And I got down a sinner and I got up saved. And I tell you, you can get down today. You can be sick. You can have an affliction. And you can stand up in him. But you got to walk in it. One day in the word of God, it said that the lepers were healed. But they began to walk away, but one man went back. Yes. One man went back, and he kept his healing. And I'm telling you, we'll step out. Give him praise and walk in it.
Glory.
We're going to walk into something this morning.
Glory.
I just praise him. I praise him for his word. I praise him for every situation.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's just give him some praise this morning. Hallelujah, as Beth sings. You know, I thought as I watched the Olympics last night and people who push their bodies beyond what it seems like normal to do. Whoever thought that you could do that on a snowboard or a skate or a... But because they didn't believe anything other than that, and they press and they've attained powerful things because they allowed their mind to go there and said, I think I can do that. Hallelujah. Let's just give him some praise this morning. Thank him for the transforming he's doing in our mind, in our thinking, in our lives, in our homes, our family, our community. Hallelujah.
With